That is such a powerful example of knowing God and really knowing God. Polycarp was he was a disciple of Jesus. He was influenced heavily by the Apostle John. His name actually in the Greek means much fruit. He was a bishop in the church of Smyrna, and during his lifetime, persecution began to break out in the church. And many people were fed in the arenas to wild beasts, lions. And Polycarp, being a leader, all of a sudden became a target. Godless, bloodthirsty crowds called for him, the leader of this church in Smyrna. And they sent out authorities to find Polycarp, and he had been taken into hiding. And unfortunately, a couple of the young believers were tortured, and they gave away his location. So this is such a powerful, powerful example of faith. Polycarp could have been whisked away. He knew that the Romans were coming. And instead of that, he says this: God's will be done. And in one of the most touching moments of Christian grace, he welcomes the captors to his home as if they were friends. He talks with them and he insists, "Hey, I'll go, but before I go, we need to have a meal together." After the meal, he says, "Can I have one last request?" "Okay." He says, "Would you just allow me to pray to my God for 1 hour?" They listened, these Roman soldiers, to this faith-filled prayer. Their hearts began to melt, and then they gave him 2 hours to pray. And then they began to ask themselves, why are we arresting this man? Even the proconsul tried to find a way to release him, and they said, "Listen, just curse God one time, and we'll let you go." Polycarp responded in this way, I quote, "For 86 years I have served him. He has never done me wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me?" They continued to look for a way out. The proconsul said to the old man, "Just swear by the spirit of the emperor, and for you, that will be enough." His response was this: "If you imagine for a moment that I would do that, then I think you do not know who I am. Hear it plainly, I am a Christian." So then they threatened him to be thrown to the wild beast, and he said, "Bring them forth." Then they said, "If you do not come and do what we've asked you to do, we are going to set you on fire." And Polycarp's response was this: "You threaten with fire that burns for an hour, but the judgment of God for the ungodly is forever." And so that's what they did. They bound him up and burned him on a stake. And because his body wasn't consumed fast enough, and there were onlookers that said it seemed as if he had a smile and you could see the faith of God in his eyes, they jabbed a sword into his side. And on February 22nd, 155 AD, that's where he died. When you talk about knowing God, the helmet of salvation is so important, because what comes into our mind, we live out in our lives. And Polycarp would not bend. His mind was made up that I'm going to serve God no matter what. Enough to follow Christ right into the flames. I'm not thinking that you should follow Christ into the flames and become a martyr for him. What I want to encourage you to do today is think about fanning the flames, that we become more on fire for him. I mean, what an example is a great example. When you think about the helmet of salvation in the terms of faith, it means this: knowing salvation personally. Actions follow your attitude and what you think is how you live. Now, for the Roman soldier, this was uncomfortable. It was hot. It was essential. Because you had to be able to think clearly in order to wage battle correctly. And so this was so important for the Roman soldier. It was enabling the soldier to wage war and continue to think. Wars aren't necessarily won just by brute strength. Wars are won through the mind, which motivates the actions. One of the most important parts of the armor that you can put on is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation that helps you to think in a way that is correctly. Not only now, but the helmet of salvation also is a reminder that in a short time, we are going to be in the presence of God Almighty. So not only is it strength and a safety for what we are doing now, it's also the reminder of salvation to come. And there is no doubt in my mind that Satan launches his worst attacks on our minds. He strikes us with doubt, with frustration, with temptation. So many attacks on the mind of the believer. I read this week from a doctor in Colorado who was talking about effects of COVID and what to do to protect yourself and that. And one of the things that he said that I thought was so interesting, he said, guard your mental health. He said, for so many senior adults who are watching and being infiltrated with negative and scary news, it's impacting how they live and their quality of life. Here's all I'm saying. We've got to be putting on that helmet of salvation, because the devil would want you to doubt. The devil would want you to be discouraged. The devil would want you to feel like it's just too much. And he wants us to be paralyzed. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Our minds matter. The helmet of salvation is more than just knowing. It's knowing. Polycarp in his head absolutely knew the grace of Jesus, but it affected his heart and his life. For you to fully be impacted by the helmet of salvation, you can't just consider one little verse in chapter 6, verse 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation. You really have to think about chapters 1 through 3. Because in chapters 1 through 3, Paul from his prison cell is absolutely trying to convince you, contending that God cares about you. God loves you right now, right where you are, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're into, whatever you're not into, Christ loves you. It's so important. It's so important for you to actually believe that. You are so valuable. And then it's important for you to realize the next couple of chapters as we get into 4 and 8, really into the beginning of chapter 6, because Christ loves you, you can conduct your life in a way that brings glory and honor to him. In Ephesians 4, let me just remind you of this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. If you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a better you. You're going to be a better you. No. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means this. I'm going to put on the nature of Christ. So I'm not going to be the best version of Jim. I'm going to be the best version of Christ in me and through me, and it impacts how I live. And I today cannot convince you that God loves you, even though it's true. Do you realize how powerful our minds are? Many times I've talked to people that no matter what, they don't believe they're valuable. Why don't they believe that? Because they were told they weren't valuable. Isaiah says this, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Personally, I've had to limit my news intake. I remember when COVID first started, and then I remember that movie I watched. It was a movie, what was that called? Oh, like some movie about a disease. Has anybody seen, just tell me that movie. What movie did I see? What was it?
Contagion.
Yes. I watched that, then I went, I remember going into, you know, neighborhood market. I'm like, ugh. I'm moving the car around. People are like, you've got it. You've got it. And I'm thinking, Jim, you need to get a handle on your head. And come on. You've watched the news over and over again, and you don't have peace. You have fear, terrible fear. And we're not living as Christ wants us to live. Don't misinterpret me today. Do I believe that COVID is real? Absolutely. Do I believe that people get sick? Absolutely. I was sick. Do I believe that it actually takes people's lives? Absolutely. Do I believe that we should fear this to the point of paralysis? Not at all. I'm gonna say the Bible says this, and I'm not gonna line up to what the news says. I'm gonna line up to what the Bible says. Because if you are breathing, you have a purpose. If you are breathing, God wants to use you. If you are breathing, God does not want you to live in absolute terror and fear. But what you put into your mind matters. That's why I loved it when I got to come back to church. I got to see you. Even someone today said, man, I'm glad to see you. And I'm like, I'm glad to see me too. I'm happy to be here. That's why last week I hugged that banner out there. Oh, man. Find hope at Hope. And life is hard enough. Paul writes this to the church of Thessalonica. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. I don't know a lot, but I know this. God absolutely loves you. He absolutely has a plan for your life, and you're not going to die until it's time. And what you put into your mind matters. What you let infiltrate your mind matters. And this is a very, I was going to try to put that on. That thing's heavy. This matters so much. And all the religion in the world is not going to benefit you. All the religion in all of the world will not benefit you. If you don't accept God's gift of his son, Jesus Christ, as your personal salvation, savior. Salvation comes when we receive God, when we make him the CEO of our life, and we don't just live upon what we're feeling, but we live upon what his word says. And there's a lot of things, not just the news, that distract us. Let me just give you an example. When I was a kid, I loved playing baseball. Played baseball for years, was on a championship team, but we never had baseball practice on Wednesday night because it was church night. And I never was pressured like, hey, Jim, you need to really step it up because there could be a scholarship for you. And I never had anyone, we just played because we had fun. Either my kids, Kevin played baseball. He was really good as a left-hander, you know, as a pitcher. That's just a huge thing as a kid in Little League. And he played on, you know, the high school team and did well. He played on an AAU team. He played on a traveling team. And all of a sudden, we're like not having fun anymore. It's supposed to be fun, family time. It was super expensive. And we're gone all the time. And all of a sudden, we're frustrated. Well, amp it up to right now. Do you know that 70% of kids are opting out of sports when they get into high school? And here's why. Too much pressure. You know one of the hardest things for a kid who plays sports today? It's the ride home. Where mom or dad kind of analyzes how we did and how we could have done better. And the pressures on kids. When I was a little kid, you could only throw a ball a certain way. You couldn't throw a curveball because it hurt your arm. Now there are kids who are 13 years old whose arms are shot. Now forget that, hey, we'll play Wednesday night, we'll play Tuesday night, we'll play Saturday, we'll play Sunday. Because you've got a chance. No, you don't. Oh, I'm not saying that you can't be that one in millions, maybe you can. Statistically, if you think you're going to play in the NBA, you're not. That is the hardest. You think you're going to play professional football? You're not. I think 90% of all high school athletes, or maybe it's 98%, don't go to a Division I team. Most of them don't even play college ball. And then those who go to a Division I team and actually make it to professional sports are that many fewer. But parents, young parents, you got your kid in three or four sports, you're so exhausted, what do you not do? Wednesday night. What do you not do? Sunday morning, we're so exhausted we can't even move. And then kids drop out when they're in high school. Another reason they drop out is that you make them focus on one sport so they can become excellent at that. Most people who make it to the pros have done multiple sports. Oh, study this stuff. I studied it just this week for fun. How many high school kids make it to a Division I school? And then how many Division I kids make it to the pros? I was discouraged. No wonder I couldn't make it. I thought about putting this on, but I think you'd have to open the girdle a lot. Let me tell you a secret. Your kid, statistically, probably is not going to play pro sports. Now, if your kid does play pro sports, I think it's awesome. No problem. I'd love it for you. I mean, they will be your answer to all of your financial woes. I mean, it'd be perfect. I love it for you. But the odds are they're not going to. But let me tell you what the odds are of them meeting Jesus Christ one day. 100%. But you see what happens? We can get so bombarded with information, negative information, that we begin to believe negative press. We can begin to believe that we can't go outside. We can't go to the store. We can't live. Oh my goodness, we can't share Christ with anybody because if I see you and I get close to you, maybe you're going to give me something that's going to kill me. And yet we read about Polycarp who says, bring it on. And I just brought up sports. I can give a lot of examples of things that we put as priority over relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not dogging anybody today, but I'm telling you, there is a helmet that we need to wear. Because if our thinking becomes stinking, our whole life smells off. And we have stress, so much stress, so much pressure. A friend of mine, I felt so bad. He writes on Facebook this week, please pray for me. My thoughts are out of control. And I thought to myself, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? I mean, is it not hard? Daily life right now is a struggle. It is, and I understand that. And that's why this helmet is so important for you and me. I want to remind you of something that says all of us are valuable. It says, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is how much God loves you, that he gave his one and only son, that you would not have to perish, but that you would have everlasting life. You need to lock that into your brain. No matter what happens, God gave his son so that you might have life. And when I was younger, I didn't quite understand this. I based some of my view of God on the view I had of my own dad. And so instead of being loved by God for who I am, I was loved by God for what I did. And so I was trying to chase the blessing of God and the love of God instead of realizing that God doesn't love me for what I do, but he loves me for who I am. This is a big deal. Most type A drivers who are in high positions at Walmart and other places are people who struggle with their self-esteem and they're trying to prove something to somebody. And I'm not saying that's everybody, but that's a lot of them. And we've said this before, we live in a part of the country that a few years ago had the number one divorce rate in the entire United States of America, right here in Northwest Arkansas. And, you know, some of my friends who are, you know, executives at Walmart, they said, if you want to be a director, you have to be divorced first. What matters? Jesus said, how about if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? For God so loved us, he gave his one and only son that everyone who believes in him, everyone, no one's excluded. Everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for they fear their sin will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants. Here's what I'm seeing in the news and around our country. The people of God are awful. That they're this radical group that's almost a hate group. And the fact of the matter is, those who truly love and know God know that Christianity is for everybody. Nobody's excluded. Nobody is excluded. But that's what we're being talked about. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. And contrary to popular belief, salvation is not just saying yes to Jesus and then living how you want to live. Salvation is saying yes to Jesus and surrendering my sinful life in exchange for the life that God has prepared for me. The lifestyle I choose to live now represents not necessarily everything here on earth, but my citizenship in heaven. Do you understand? This is so important. What you think matters. And there are so many distractions. There are so many things that try to plague our minds, try to convince us that God doesn't care about us, that God doesn't really love us, that God actually is against us. And it's not true. And the fact of the matter is that we're all going to sin. And then we got to get up and follow God again. I love what John writes in the latter part of his life. He says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of the world." John says, let's be real. Jesus Christ came so that we wouldn't sin. But the fact of the matter is, we're all human. And so we're going to sin. But when we do sin, we have to realize there was a price paid for us. Do you understand how valuable you are? It's so important. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If anyone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and they're not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should also live their lives as Jesus did. The evidence for salvation is how we live. And there's no Christian who gets it right all the time. There's just not. And we ask God to forgive us, and he does, and we live for Christ even better. What John is saying here is that's kind of how it works. But you can't say, hey, I love Christ, and I'm just going to live however I want to. I'm living a better version of me. That's not biblical Christianity. How I understand biblical Christianity is that when I sin, I confess my sins. I mean, John goes on to say that in that exact chapter. I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of unrighteousness. See, Jim, why are you talking about all of this? Because your head matters. And what you think matters. And what you put in your mind matters. You can actually be convinced that a lie is true. How many of us have been told something negative in our lives and we actually believed it, and even today we struggle with it? I mean, it's true. That's why this helmet matters. It matters so much. And, you know, at Hope Church, I love everybody. And don't be discouraged if you're a teenager and you want to play pro sports. I think you can do it. Statistically, you don't have a shot at it. But I believe in you. You know, I believe in you. I believe that you can be whatever you want to be and you can get a ribbon even if you're not. But at some point, there needs to be a reality check. Parents, don't drive your kids into the ground with sports because they're going to quit, because they can't handle the pressure. They don't like the ride home. They get injured. And it's just, it's too much for a little kid. And why is this important? Because I watch the media. I mean, less now because I just can't. Well, you're just not informed. No, I'm informed. But I just don't need to put completely negative thoughts into my brain all the time and expect to be a positive person. It doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't. And at Hope, here's all that we're asking you. Put on this helmet. Let God orchestrate how you think. But it's going to take some time. Just like being here. It's going to take a little time for you to invest in God. And God has a part for you to play at Hope Church. It's not just coming, it's being. He wants you to spend some time with Him, and He wants you to use your talents for Him. And then you're going to see your self-esteem. You're going to see your life have more enrichment because you're not just spending it on yourself. I mean, for me, it comes down to this, two choices. One, for me, let Christ crucify my flesh. Passions, desires. Let Christ crucify that. Or two, I'm going to let Satan lead my life by my passions and worldly desires. And that's really how life works. And our belief affects how we behave. Our belief affects how we behave. And I'm going to choose today to say, God, You love me no matter what. I'm going to choose today to believe when I pray, God Almighty hears me. I'm going to choose today to believe that God says I have value and that He loves me and that He has a plan for my life. I'm going to choose to believe that. I'm going to choose to believe that Jesus is still in control, even though the world is spinning off of its axis and I don't know what's happening. I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to absolutely choose to believe that God has my best interest for Him in the forefront of my life. I'm going to choose to believe not everything that I see, but what's written in the Word of God. I'm telling you, my quality of life goes way up. And yours will too. Because these are times where we can get absolutely discouraged. These are times when we can feel despondent. These are times when we're just like victims and something happening in this world and it's just out of control and we're so desperate and we're so despondent we can't even move. Let me wrap up saying this. Polycarp illustrated the power of knowing Jesus intimately. Intimately enough to follow him into the flames. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to truly know Jesus. And I just wrote this last thought. I realized my focus is not asking the question, am I willing to die for Jesus? The real question is, am I willing today to live for Jesus? What can I do? What can you do to fan the flames to follow him closer? At Hope Church, we give you opportunities to grow. And I didn't come Wednesday night, but I'll be here this Wednesday night. I had a meeting Tuesday night, Thursday night, and with Wednesday night, I just thought, with just getting over COVID, I'm just too tired. I wanted to be ready for today. I'll be here Wednesday night. You know why? Because I want to hear what Pastor Kevin's talking about in the book of Acts. I want to hear about how I can grow in my faith. I want to be here. And you're like, well, Jim, you're paid to be here. No, I'm not. I didn't show up last Wednesday. I'm going to be here because I actually believe what I'm teaching today. And this has been such a good reminder to me. Jim, put on that helmet. Put on that helmet. Rein in what you're thinking. Let the peace of God lead your life, not fear. Rein in your thoughts, Jim. Don't believe everything you hear. Believe the Word of God. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Oh my goodness. If you weren't real, Paul wouldn't have been in prison for you. In Hebrews chapter 11, so many people wouldn't have given their lives to be burned at the stake, to be fed to lions. So many, who would do that for something that's fake? You are real then and you are real now. And God, I want to pray today for your people. Anyone who's just been struggling in their head, anyone who's just overwhelmed, and I believe that depression hurts us, and sometimes we can get depressed and even a propensity towards that for some, and it's real, and what I'm talking about, it's a struggle. God, I want to pray today for some who maybe been like me going, wow, I'm just overwhelmed and I don't know and this is so crazy. I want to pray that the peace of God would guard their hearts and their minds, that they would be able to put on this helmet and trust you, God, even though they can't see what's coming. And if you would like me to pray for you, you say, Pastor Jim, just pray for me. I don't even know if I can articulate it. Just in my head and my thoughts and my heart, it's just, I need God's peace. Look up at me and I'm going to pray for you. Say, Pastor Jim, I need that. Okay. And you know this, I'm there with you. I love you. I care about you. You mean so much to me. And I'm excited to pray for you today. Because I'm walking the same walk you're walking. And sometimes I'm distracted with just stupid stuff. And I let my brain, you know, think negatively or, oh, it's bad. And I'm not trusting the Lord. So I want to pray for you and I want to bless you and believe that God will help you. And then you pray the same prayer for me today. Father, thank you for, I mean, they're not just people. These are my friends. I love these folks that you let me serve, God. And I pray for them as they pray for me, that we will believe in you, God, to the point that we have peace. That we will trust that you love us. We will trust that you have a plan for us. We will trust you, Lord, no matter what we see. There's so much more that's happening in the heavens. You're fighting the battle for us. Jesus, you died for us. We're all welcome if we accept you as our Savior. I pray for these friends that you would lift them up. I pray for them, Lord, that they would have clarity in their thinking, that they would focus on the Word of God. God, that they would make time for you, time in prayer, time in the Word of God, time together like this where we encourage one another. Bless them, Lord. And Lord, thank you for their prayers for us, for me. Lord, may I lead in such a way that is real, but that they can see I'm trying to follow you. Even if I fall, that I stand up, I'm trying to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, that you accept us today. We want to live for you. We want to serve you. We don't want to be burdened by this world. We want to have a faith-filled life. God, I pray that you would bless each one. Thank you for them. Bless those at home, Lord. Give them strength. Give them courage. Give them health in their bodies, Lord. So many who are out of town this week, Lord, protect them. Love on them, God. Help them to sense you. Help them to sense even the prayer that we pray together right now for them. In Jesus' precious, precious name, we pray. Let's stand together and make this last song very worshipful before we go.